last week we talked about the fact that just because you're saved doesn't mean you're surrendered. There's a difference. Being saved and surrendered is two different things. Being saved is when you come to Jesus, you realize you're a sinner, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, what He did for you on the cross, you completely trust in Him, the Rock of Ages. You put your faith, trust in Him, and the moment that you trust Him, the Bible says, the moment that you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. And so that's all it takes. He does everything for us. It's the gift of eternal life. It's a free gift. There's no strings attached. There's nothing you have to do to be saved. It's a free gift. He's done all the heavy lifting. He's done all the work. He's done everything necessary. Being surrendered, though, is something different. Being saved is one thing. Being surrendered is something else. As a Christian, God's call to us is to surrender. He wants us to surrender ourselves completely and wholly unto Him. You see, what God's trying to do in our life is He's trying to produce the fruit of His Spirit that now lives inside of us. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. These are the things that God wants to do, wonderful things in our life. But they don't happen while self is on the throne of our heart. They happen when we surrender our will to His will and we let Him have His way. And Jesus Christ made a statement here in Luke 9 that was all about surrender. And He says, look, if any man's going to come after me, look at it with me, Luke 9 verse 23. He said to them all, if any man will come after me, three things. Let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. What does it mean when he says, deny himself? Last week we learned that denying yourself doesn't mean you torture yourself or anything like that. Denying yourself just simply means if there's anything in my life that's hindering my relationship with Christ, if there's anything in my life that may not even be sinful, it may just be a weight, and it's keeping me from having that intimate relationship with Christ, that walk with Christ, it's hindering me in that walk, then I gladly get it out of my life. I don't have to have it. I just gladly refuse it and refrain from it. I deny myself. Why? So that I can be close to the Lord Jesus Christ and go after Him. But then there's another thing He says here in this verse. He says, not only do you deny yourself, but He said, number two, notice He said, you take up your cross daily. Well, what does that mean, to take up your cross daily? You know, what does that mean? What does that even mean, take up your cross daily? What's your cross? What did He mean by that? A lot of people think that their cross is a certain thing or it's a certain person. Have you ever heard anybody say, yeah, I got this old car, this old jalopy, and man, I tell you what, I can't afford a new car, so you know what? It's just my cross to bear. Have you ever heard that? That old car is my cross. That's my cross to bear. That's my cross, you know? And maybe you've heard somebody say, yeah, I can't stand my job, but I got to have it. It's just my cross to bear. Hopefully you've never heard this one. Yeah, he's mean and ornery, and he's my husband, but he's my cross to bear, you know. She's an old nag, but she's my cross. I guess I got to bear. You know, I hope you've never heard that one, you know. But whenever you said the word cross in Jesus' day, there was absolutely no doubt what it meant. If you lived in that culture at that time, you knew exactly, when you said the word cross, you knew right away what it meant. It meant one thing. It meant death. The cross meant death, period. And Jesus is clearly telling people here, when He says to take up your cross daily, He's saying, look, you want to follow me? He's saying, do you want to come after me? Then He's saying, you die to your way, and you're going to have to follow me my way. You die to your way, and you realize, Jesus is saying, I am life. I am your only life source. I am, my way is life. And your cross, listen, your cross is not a person. Your cross is not a thing. And your cross is not an event from your past. It's your entire life. It is dying to self and it's surrendering everything over to Jesus Christ. It's saying, Lord, I am yours, lock, stock, and barrel. No longer do I do things my way. I am dying to self. I'm coming after you, and I'm doing things your way. Look at this verse on the screen, Romans 12:1, where the Apostle Paul said this. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What is he saying? You die to self. You turn it all over to him. That's what Jesus meant. Take up your cross daily. That is, you come to God and you say, okay, God, I am yours. I want to do things your way, and I am yours, lock, stock, and barrel. And you know what? We could go through a lot of reasons why it is reasonable to surrender to Jesus Christ. I mean, he saved us. He knows the way of life. He's the only one that's ever resurrected from the dead. You know, his way is good. His way is best. His way is right. He is a wonderful Savior. He has saved us. He's forgiven us of our sins. He's given us his Spirit. He's given us a home in heaven. I mean, we could go through a whole list of reasons why it is reasonable to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. But you know what? Even though we could come up with a whole list of reasons, it's a lot more difficult than one might think to surrender to him. And the reason why is because we very much like having it our way. We like having it our way. Amen. Amen. Remember the hamburger chain, restaurant? And you remember Burger King, their motto was, have it your way. And I can remember from childhood, shows you how that stuff sticks with you, I can still remember the jingle from childhood. Have it your way, have it your way, have it your way at Burger King. You know, and I looked on YouTube, I looked that up, because I got curious. I remembered the jingle, honestly. I didn't even have to look on YouTube for that. So I actually typed in YouTube, have it your way. And like the second or third thing that comes up is a commercial from Burger King in the 70s when I was growing up. And it's, man, it is cheesy, let me tell you, man. And it's this girl behind the counter, you know, and this family comes in and they want a Whopper, but they don't want pickles and lettuce. And so she's like, no problem. Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce. Da, 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 da. And she goes into this song, you know. And then as they're it's cheesy. A lot of you will look it up today, probably. But, you know, as they've got their little bags of food and they're leaving the restaurant, the husband looks at the wife and goes, I like having it our way. It's just complete cheese, you know. But, you know, I thought that was that was a pretty clever advertising campaign. Because, you know, that thought, have it your way, that appeals to the most basic... That appeals to the most basic desire of man's sin nature, is we want it our way. And left to ourselves, we want it our way. We like having it our way. We like it. We like being in control. We like calling the shots. We like being in the driver's seat. We like being the Lord of our life. You think about it. Satan didn't tempt Adam and Eve in the garden to steal. He didn't tempt them to kill. He didn't tempt them to commit adultery. What did Satan do? He simply tempted them to live independently of God and to do things their own way. He's like, you want that fruit? Man, take it and enjoy it. It doesn't matter what God said. And he probably sat on their shoulder and said, have it your way. Have it your way. And they're sitting there staring at the fruit. Did they know they're not supposed to eat? That tree is not, they're not supposed to eat that. And the day you eat it, God's way was, you will die. That was God's way. And Satan's sitting on their shoulder saying, have it your way. Have it your way. Have it your way. In the Garden of Eden, you know. Have it your way. It's your garden, man. It's your place. You know, God gave you this garden to live in. It's your home, man. Eat it. Take it. Have it your way. And our biggest problem, I'm telling you flat out, our biggest problem is that we want our own way in opposition to God's way. That has always, from the beginning of time in the Garden of Eden, that has always been mankind's biggest struggle. We want our way. We like having our way. You get two people married and they both want their own way, and what happens? I mean, they're single, they're on their own, they're doing it their way. They get married, and then they start living in the same house, sharing the same roof, sharing the same kitchen, sharing the same bills, sharing the same bedroom, and all of a sudden, when they're both singing, "I want it my way," there's, you know what happens, right? And that's our biggest problem. We want our way. And you know, one of the worst times in Israel's history, you know how the Bible summarizes that period of history? It's one of the worst, absolute most chaotic times of Israel's history. Let's bring it up. And this is how God summarizes it. He says, "In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes." Have it your way. Do it your way. And every man said, "Okay, I'll do it my way." And complete chaos. Complete chaos. Look in your handout, and I want to show you something here. Look what God said. He said in Psalm 81, he said about Israel, God said, "So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels." They did their own thing. "Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways," God said. Look at the next verse, Proverbs 12:15. "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." How about this one? This kind of summarizes it, Isaiah 53:6. This summarizes us, mankind. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." That's an interesting study when you study out the word way and how man wants to always go his own way. "And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." You look up here at the screen at a passage where Paul is writing about the last days on earth before Christ comes back. And when he's writing about the last days, he says, in the last days, he said, "Perilous times shall come." Perilous means violent, dangerous, terrible times are going to come right before the Lord comes back. And this is how God characterizes the last days that are going to be so perilous and bad. Here's how he begins. "For men shall be lovers." Notice what's at the top of the list. "Men shall be lovers of their own selves." And you know what you get after that? You don't get the fruit of the Spirit. When he says men shall be lovers of their own selves, and the earth will be full of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. No, you don't get that. When people go their own way, it says they'll be lovers of their own selves. And what do you get? Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Adam, when Adam was created, he was not created to live independently of God. Yes, Adam was given volition. Adam was given free will. He was given a mind to think, to reason, to make decisions. God said, "Name the animals, whatever you name them, Adam, that's the name." And so Adam was able to think and reason. He was able to have make decisions. But I want you to understand, God gave him volition within the context of an ongoing walk and relationship with God. God gave him volition to make decisions, but God drew boundaries. And God said, "This is my will for the earth over which I've made you governor. This is my will for the Garden of Eden, what I want you to do, Adam. This is my will regarding you and regarding the tree and regarding Eve and regarding all these things." And so Adam was not autonomous. He needed God. And Satan's deception from the beginning of time, Satan's deception was that, "Adam, it is no big deal. God's just trying to ruin your fun. Your way, Adam, is fine. Your way is fine. There's nothing wrong with it at all. Just eat the fruit and you'll be like God. And you won't need him anymore. You won't need God anymore, Adam. Just do it your way. Have it your way." And you know, that is exactly what led to Satan's fall. In Isaiah 14, what led to Satan's fall? Satan said in his heart, he didn't even audibilize it. All he had to do was think it in his heart, because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. In the Bible, it's interesting that the Bible says that Adam said in his heart, seven I wills. I will ascend into heaven. I will ascend above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount. I will ascend upon the... It wasn't God wants me to do this. No, I will, I will, I will. And it all ends with, I will be like the Most High. I'll be God. And that same satanic spirit of independence and rebellion and desiring our own way, that has been cloned in our fleshly nature. You see, the same issue that led Satan to fall is the exact same issue why mankind fell. That same satanic spirit of independence has been cloned in our fleshly nature. And I can prove it. Look at Ephesians 2, 2 and 3. It says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's Satan. And then notice he says, the spirit. That's Satan's spirit. The spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Anything that gives man the illusion that he can make life work his own way only makes him a more powerful rebel against God and destroys his usefulness to God. It's the big lie. It's the big lie that Satan and your flesh want you to believe, that you can have it your way and make it work. You can have it your way and make it work. And there's a verse in the handout there, Proverbs 14, 12, that says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man. It'll work. Hey, yeah, I figured this out. It'll work. But the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, so many times I've had people say this to me through the years. Pastor Dan, I know what God says, but... And at that point, you're done. It doesn't matter what comes after that word, but. It doesn't matter. You can fill in the blank any way you want to fill it in. Whenever you say, I know what God says, but, at that point, you're done, you're toast. You are saying, I want it my way. I know what God says, but I got a better idea. I got a better plan. I know what God says, but you know what? I want it my way. And Christ is calling every one of us to renounce our own way of self-dependency and submit our hearts to the way of Christ. And listen to this. Any change that will ultimately help a person, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's overcoming a sin, an addiction. I don't care if it's just something maybe in your life, you know, you want to get more healthy, you want to do this or that. Whatever, any change that you can make in your life that will help you over the long haul, it has to move you away from autonomy and move you toward a dependence upon your Creator. In Psalm 100, verse 3 on the screen, notice what it says here. Can we bring that up? It's Psalm 100, verse 3. It says, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Now, I want to illustrate something for you that I think it will be helpful to for you to see. Let's go ahead and bring up these pictures. We got a picture here of a rocket. We got a picture of a house. I believe we got one of an automobile, and we have one of a superhighway. None of those things that you are looking at right now were self-created. And none of them are self-sustaining. They were not self-created, and they are not self-sustaining. They are dependent on the one who made them. The space shuttle and the automobile has to be refueled and reserviced. The house and the highway, they've got to be repaired. Creation inherently demands dependency. And it's funny, man can acknowledge that about everything that he makes for himself in this world, But then he rebels against the thought that somehow he's dependent upon his own creator. Yet everything in life demonstrates that truth. And so God says to us, he reminds us, God says, hey, it is me that made you and not you yourself. He said, you know, you're dependent upon me to sustain you. Well, you know what? Satan does not... You want to know why Satan has always fought creation so hard? Satan has had theories of how man came to be from all the way back. I mean, you look back at just all the ludicrous theories that man has come up with to try to get around the fact that there's a creator. And you look back, sometimes just Google that and look back at all the different theories of man's origin that man has come up with. And of course, a lot of them we look back at now and we just laugh. And we say, man, I can't believe people ever thought that's how we came into being. I believe one day that'll be true of evolution. I think that one day, it may be 50 years, may not be in my lifetime, but I think one day people will look back and they'll just laugh at that. They'll think that is so funny that people actually believe that. But they'll have a new theory. They'll have a new way for how we came into being. And it won't be the Bible way. But they'll have a way. They'll have another thing, you know, of how we came into being. It's always been that. There's been theories all the way back. And I'm going to tell you exactly why. Satan does not want you to believe you have a creator, because if you have a creator, that the common sense, everything in life teaches you that if there is a creator, then that thing that is created must also be sustained. Satan doesn't want you looking to God to be sustained. He wants you to depend on you. He wants you to walk your way. He wants you to do things your way. That's that satanic spirit of independence that he had. He's cloned that in man, and he wants that to stay. He doesn't want that to change. The governing principle that you learn is that just like those things right there, they needed somebody to create them, and then they've got to have someone to sustain them. And the governing principle is that if you needed somebody to make you, then you need somebody to maintain you. And man must face his dependency, repent of his proud attempts to make life work his own way, and then submit to the ways of his creator. You look at some of these verses, you know, John 15:5 on the screen. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He said, he that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do, what is the last word? Nothing. One time I was talking to a guy, this was years ago, I don't even remember who it was. I have no clue, I can't even think of who it was. But he was sitting down like this. He said, Pastor Dan, he says, you know what I do every morning when I wake up? I said, I don't have a clue what you do when you wake up. He says, every single morning when I wake up, he says, I'm laying there in bed. He said, I sit up and I go. And I looked at him. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I said, well, why do you go? And he said, the reason why I do that, he said, that's the sign of surrender. And he said, I just want every morning, I want God to know that day I surrender it to him. I'm surrendered. I'm yours. I'm yours, God. I'm surrendered to you. You say, Pastor Dan, do you do that in the morning? No, I would scare Denise half to death. She'd be like, what's wrong? Nothing, honey, I'm just surrendering, you know. But I like that. That was his visible way of every day reminding himself he didn't make himself. And he can't sustain himself. He's dependent on Jesus Christ. There's a verse here, look at this one, where Paul wrote, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. How about this one? 2 Samuel 22, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. Let's go to one more. Look at this one. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall, say it with me, direct thy paths. That's the call of Jesus. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. He says, look, you want to be my follower? You put aside your way and you allow my spirit to flow through you and you do things my way, Jesus said. And by the way, that's when you get that wonderful fruit we talked about last week. Love, joy, peace. That's when you get that. And here's the key. Here's the key. To look to anything other than Christ to make life work is to forsake him and to cease following him. To try to make your life work any other way other than complete surrender to Christ is to cease following him. If we are going to surrender to Christ, we have to daily die to our own way. That's what he means. Take up your cross daily. Die to your way and follow him his way. His way is life. You know, there's a verse. This would be a great prayer. And I don't know if it's in your handout, this reference, but you ought to write that one down. Psalm 25:4. That'd be a great prayer for you to start every day. Show me, say it with me. Let's say it together. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. What a great prayer. Lord, today, just show me your ways. I want to do things your way. How about this one as a prayer? Write that one down. Psalm 27:11 is a good one to jot down. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. By the way, do y'all know who your biggest enemy is? Yourself. This week I was talking to Denise, and I was just kind of going on and on, feeling sorry for myself. Anybody else ever do that? And just feeling sorry for myself and going on and on. And finally, you know what? I said, you know what? You know what my biggest problem is? She said, what? I said, me. She just went, she just kind of laughed, you know. But I was like, I'm the biggest problem I've got. It's me. And I can blame this person and what they did, or this person and that person, and I can blame this circumstance and that circumstance. The biggest problem's me. And the biggest problem you have is you. Yeah. Some of you are like, yeah, my biggest problem's you, Pastor Dan. No, that's not what I meant. Look in the mirror. That's your biggest issue. The biggest problem we have is our flesh. Our flesh wants to go our way. It doesn't want to go Christ's way. We want to go our own way. And that's the biggest problem. And we have to come to that point where daily we take up our cross. That is, remember, your cross isn't your leaky roof. Your cross isn't your broken down car. Your cross isn't a family member. Your cross is death. You die to self and you live unto him. Let me give you the last thing real quickly. We're almost done. Number three, if we're going to surrender, it takes a decision to follow Christ. Look at the end of verse 23, please. It says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. And what's the last two words? Follow me. Now, what does that mean? That means I die to my way and I live unto his way. Why do I die to my way? If I want to go this way and I think, I like that way. That way is pleasurable to me. God says, no, my way is this way, not that way. Why in the world would I not go my way, the way I want to go, and why would I choose to go God's way? Why would I choose to go Jesus' way? It's because in my heart of hearts, I believe that his way is better. I believe his way is better, and I believe his way is right. That's why. It's not complicated. Trust and obey. We sung it at the beginning of the service. It's not complicated. Trust and obey. Just do it God's way. Is it easy? No. But is it complicated? No. I am not going to stand up here and tell you that living the Christian life is an easy life. When you're swimming against, listen, when you choose to follow Christ, you're swimming against the current of Satan's world system. And that's not easy. So, no problem for me. I don't have any problems at all. It's not as easy for me. Well, then you got to question whether or not you're swimming against the current. Because, by the way, if you are used to following the flesh and you're used to always getting your own way, then yeah, you know what? As long as you're doing everything your flesh wants you to do, it won't resist you. When you're swimming with the current, you don't realize how powerful that current is until you turn around and go against it. Then you realize just how powerful it is. And when you decide, I'm not going to follow my flesh anymore, I'm not going to do things my way, I'm going to do things Christ's way, that's not easy. But it's not complicated either. It's not complicated. The complications arise when we go our own way. That's when the complications arise. Anybody in here ever try to lead a kid that doesn't want to go? Anybody in here ever try to lead a dog someplace they don't want to go? You know what? It creates quite a bit of tension, doesn't it? And you know, in the same way, just to kind of illustrate this, if Pastor Shannon here, help up here, Brother Shannon, if he's got a hold of the rope here, he's got the Holy Spirit living inside of him, and you're going to resist me now, all right? Think you can handle it? All right. What are y'all laughing at? If I'm the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit says, okay, Shannon, I know you got a decision to make, and I know you want to go that way, but we need to go this way, and so the Holy Spirit tries to lead him, and then he resists.
That's good.
That was good. Good. That was good. Yeah, yes. Great illustration. All right. Rich didn't have near that kind of power in the early service. And then the Holy Spirit says, you know, Shannon, this is what I really want you to do. Okay, so let's go. I know you want to go that way, but we're going to go this way. And Shannon says, no, I'm not going that way. And you know what that's creating?
Tension.
Tension. And you know why you have tension in your relationship with God and why you have tension in your relationship with people? We want our way. We don't want to go God's way. Isn't it amazing, though, when you decide to go with the Holy Spirit? Notice how easy it is. Holy Spirit says, Shannon, we need to go this way. This is the path of life. This is the way I want you to go. And Shannon obeys. Look at that. There is absolutely no tension at all.
That's easy.
Isn't that easy? That's nice. Yeah, give him a hand. Yeah. Yeah, just picture a kid trying to be led somewhere they don't want to go. You know? You got them by the arm, you know, trying to lead them. And that's exactly what we do with God. And then we wonder, why all these complications in my life? The way out of the complications, and again, I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying the way out of the complications is to simply ask, am I following Christ or me? Am I following my way or His way? In this thing before me, I got to decide what choice I'm going to make. I got to decide what decision to make. I got to decide what attitude I'm going to have right here. Am I going to please God or simply please myself? And sometimes we think of a particular issue or sin in our life, and we think of that issue, and we think, you know, maybe it's a relational conflict. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's just, you know, there's just some kind of problem in your life. There's an issue. There's something going on there. And many times, you know what we think? This is what we think. Let's bring it up. We think, I am defeated. I'm defeated. Can I remind you, the Bible says we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Can I remind you that the Bible says I can do all things through Christ? Can I remind you that the Bible says greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world? You see, here's the reality. Now, this is tough. You got to man up, look in the mirror. We are not defeated. Let's go ahead and click it again. We are simply disobedient. We're not defeated. We simply want our way. We want our way. We want it our way. And it's not a defeat issue. It's a disobedience issue. I am choosing to follow my flesh rather than Christ. And when there's a decision to be made and there's things you decide every day about your attitude, your actions, your choices, what you're going to do, and in every single one of those situations, there's just two choices on the shelf. Pleasing God or pleasing self. Just two choices, follow my way or go Christ's way. And it's not I'm defeated. It's just I'm disobedient. I want it my way. You want to pursue Christ? Jesus said, if a person's going to come after me, there's three keys. We'll bring them up on the screen. Number one, a denying of the flesh. We covered that last week. Anything that pulls me away from Christ, I'm going to get it out of my life. A dying to my way, because I know He has the path of life. A decision to follow Christ, trust and obey. And you know what the twist is to all this? Here's the twist. Yeah, you ever watch a movie and there's a twist at the end that you didn't expect? And you're like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that. And there's a twist, right? Well, there's a twist to all this. Here's the twist. The way to true life, He said, is to die. Take up your cross daily. The way to true life is to die, but here's the twist. To die to self is to truly live. Look at verse 24, the next verse. That's what He says, right? Look at it. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. In your handout it says, following my flesh, doing things my way, leads to death. But when I die to my flesh, and I die to my way, I live. That's what's ironic. That's what's ironic. Look at this verse on the screen real quick. Ezekiel, look at that. Say unto them, God said, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God said, I'm not happy over that. And then He said, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. God said, that's what gives me pleasure, when the wicked turn from his way. There's that expression again. When he turns from his way and lives. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? I told the early service today. You know, we read that verse earlier where God said, he said, I gave them up under their own heart's lust. You know, and in Romans, he says about the Gentile nations, I gave them up unto their own reprobate mind to do those things that are not convenient. They destroyed themselves. You hear people saying, oh, God's going to judge America. He's going to bring judgment on America. God, you know what? All God has to do is just turn man loose to follow his own way, and he'll destroy himself. Nations destroy themselves. God doesn't have to send lightning bolts down. Nations are destroyed from the inside out in man's own wicked heart going his own way instead of God's way. All God has to do to destroy a man is just literally just turn him loose and let him go his own way. And he'll destroy himself, guaranteed. And that's exactly what he says. Look at the next verse. James. He says, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Look at the next one. It says, I am crucified with Christ. I'm dead to self. Nevertheless, I live. There's that irony, that twist. He says, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And he says, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I die to self and I let him live his life. I let him do his thing through me. Follow his way.